does no good for us. Hallelujah. Okay. I'm going to turn the fan on up here as soon as I find the right remote. There it is. Come on. Okay. Man's got to play with his remote, you know. I didn't know what to do the other day. I was trying to change channels, trying to scan to see what was on up ahead. And that part of the remote went dead. The buttons wouldn't work. I'm like, I don't want to keep changing channels. That's just ridiculous. I'm too lazy to go look for something and make it work. And how many of you can remember the first remote-controlled television you got? Did anybody? You probably did. Did you have one of those? We got this Quasar. Dad got it back in the mid-80s. And the remote operated off of a sound. It was a piece of metal. Clink, 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 clink. Man, I thought that was the coolest thing, man. We could make it. Because it still had the dial. Downside was airplanes could send those on their own little revolution. I just remember, man, we've arrived now. We've got a remote control color television. We always had a color television. It was usually about, that was as big as we got. Boy, this one here was, it was awesome. In respects to the little black and white one that I had in my bedroom. And this was day before VCRs and anything. So it's like, the only thing I could pick up was Channel 34, PBS. And you can only watch so much Sesame Street. Well, yeah. You know, the downside to the nature shows anymore is they're pushing evolution on all of them. I was watching something the other day, and I was like, this was a good show until you started saying that man evolved. We didn't evolve from that thing. Anyhow, praise God. Well, open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at some things today. The Lord started really stirring some things in me. I don't remember what day it was now, just the other day, and I take what God is stirring in me at that time to be what God wants me to share here, amen? And the reason being is because, you know, sometimes there might be something to freshen you up, might be something you missed the last time, because I've taught on this message before, but probably not in the same exact. It won't be in the same exact wording. It won't be probably even all the same exact scriptures. But it's about promises. You making them. Okay? And because, you know, Angela and I were talking the other day, and, you know, about some vows and some promises we'd made that we made rashly. Anybody ever make a rash promise? You live to regret them? And I never fully understood about making those rash promises. You know, you better stop. Listen, if somebody's asking you to do something, stop and listen to what you're agreeing to. Because there are some things that go along with this, regardless of what we think. Now, let's turn, if you're in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. And this is Jesus speaking. He said, "But let your yes be yes and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one." The word "more" is the same word that is used in John 10:10. Talks about God gives us abundant life. It's excessive. It means anything beyond yes and no is excessive, and it's going to bring evil into your life. You know, technically, once we get done here, I'm going to show you that technically, especially if you finish reading this, the first part of that verse, it's talking about don't swear by God, don't swear by heaven, do not swear by earth, do not swear by your own abilities. Because you can't even make your own hair white. Now, you can today due to dyes, but you cannot affect any of that stuff naturally. So guess what? Technically, swearing on the Bible, swearing on, and you understand what I'm saying? So help me God. According to the scriptures, you're not supposed to do that. Now, how many of us have done that? You don't have to raise your hand. I swear to God, this is the truth. You just brought God into your little lie. Because I've had people tell me to swear to God, and they were lying through their teeth. You just smeared God's name for your lie. That's what you did. You tried to bring God in to vilify, to make you feel more important than you are. That's why Jesus was teaching this, because they used to swear. They would take an oath. I swear this is the way it is. Well, when you say yes, then let your yes be yes and your no be no. Now, if you've already built a reputation as a liar, and there are people, even in this community, people that I know, you probably know them, they are habitual liars. They can't tell the truth. They are always telling one lie after another, chiefly because they don't even know what the truth is anymore. You know, I mean, people are like, how do I catch them in a lie? Remember what they said before. Because they won't be the same thing they tell you this time. Oh, that's how you catch a liar. Yeah, liar always hangs himself on the truth. They can't tell the same lie twice because they don't remember what they said. You ever caught somebody in that? Now, wait a minute here. You told me that you had muscles this big around, Miss Gloria. I've seen pictures of you. I remember you. But then Gloria says, oh, no, that's not what I said. Oh, and then 3 years later, she changes the story again. And I'm just picking on Gloria because she's sitting on the front. And I got to go home with this one. And JD's pushing me back over this way. But you understand, if you want to catch a liar, they'll hang themselves with the truth. And that's just all there is to that. They can only tell so many lies, and then it's going to catch them. Let's turn over to James chapter 5 and verse 12. I need to get a drink of water. I did have my tea over the next door, but got a frog in my throat. James is reiterating what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5. James chapter 5 verse 12, he said, but above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Now, he added a little something on there that was more of a revelation than what just Jesus had left there. He said, you're going to fall into judgment if you take an oath and you break it. See, a lot of people think, well, just because I told that person I'd do it doesn't mean I have to. Well, yeah, you do. Do you ever notice, you know, even if you were talking to somebody who has spent the last 40, 50 years in the Masons, they will not tell. It doesn't matter if they agree with them anymore or not. They may have spent 1 year in, but they will not tell you what goes on behind the doors. You know why? They take an oath. And I've heard some things about what the oath may entail, but I've never actually talked to somebody about the oath, so I can't tell you. But they say that bad things will happen to them if they tell. Do you want to know what will happen? Bad things will happen to them. Well, Pastor, I'm free from that. No, you're not. That's your word. Are you free from your word? No, you are not. When you give somebody your word, you are now bound by your word. There's none of this, oh, well, I made that out of ignorance. You had better do some getting some things repenting right. You can't just walk off and say, well, I'm just going to go off and tell everybody what has happened. It don't work like that. Because you took an oath that said, if I tell anybody what goes on beyond here, may my hair fall out and my teeth fall out. You wonder why you're bald and you got dentures. Because you've been blabbing for all these years, telling people you took the oath because you wanted to feel important and be a part of this private club. So you took an oath of that nature that said, may these bad things happen to me. You're the one that did that. And guess what? Well, that pastor, that sounds like a curse, and I'm free from the curse. No, you are not. Not when you bring it on yourself. The curse is there. You understand what the curse really is? The curse is just waiting. The curse was here when Adam was here. People like to think, well, the curse didn't come until after. No, the curse was here with Adam. The word says, choose ye this day whom you will serve. I'm going to give you blessing and cursing. You got two paths. They've always been here, folks. All cursing is the lack of the blessing. And I'm not talking about, oh, well, I'm just, you know, I'm blessed, so therefore I'm free from that curse. Well, if you break your promise, you are no longer free from it because you have just fallen into its realm. Now, I want to read something out of Proverbs to you, 26:2, if you're taking notes. Proverbs 26:2 says, like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. You know what that's telling us? Anybody ever seen a sparrow or a little bird just jumping around? They're always looking for a place to build a nest. We got these little red house finches. They always, I mean, they're pretty, but you know, they poop all over my porch and make a mess out of it. And I'm like, you know what? You're finding a tree. That's where God said you need to build your home, is in a tree, not on my front door. And so anyhow, they're constantly looking. They're flying from one place to the other, looking for something. And that's what the Bible says that a curse is doing, is it's constantly going around looking. Sit over here on glory. I said, what do I think? Oh, no, can't find them here. Come over here. I don't like the view here either. You see what I'm saying? It's constantly looking. But if it comes over here, and Keith gets picked on. Keith, I like it here. Keith, just move on, Pastor. Just keep going. See, then it feels comfortable. Why? Because you've given it a reason. You broke your word. You know what the most important thing to God is? His word. You think I'm kidding? Why would he make his son the word? You stop and think about that for 2 seconds. If his word did not mean something to me, he wouldn't have made his only son the word. And he would not have made the word take on flesh and blood. So God's word means everything to him. That's why we call this God's word. Can I ask you a question? Who speaks more in it? Everybody but God. There's more quotations from other people in there than there are straight from the throne room of God. But it's God's word. You constantly read in there, and David said this, and Saul said that, and Solomon said this. But this is God's word. It's important to him. So why would he not expect us to stick to our word? Why? Because the curse is there. The curse, like I said, is merely the absence of the blessing. And what happens is, like I said, that curse is jumping around here looking for an opportunity. And it comes up, oh, hey, you're a liar. You made a vow and broke it. Here I am. Deal with me. But you see, a lot of people think, well, I've just had a run of bad luck. I don't believe that. I do not believe that. I believe you broke a vow. And that curse has found a way to light. And you refuse to repent of it. Well, I made that decision in a moment of passion and decided later on that I didn't owe that person anything. That don't mean a hill of beans. You made a vow. You had better keep that vow. You promised to give somebody something. If they in turn do something, especially if they follow through on their side. Now, if they don't, if they break the vow, you are now released from it. Okay? So just comprehend here what I'm saying. Because Jesus even taught that the only real reason you can give a divorce was because somebody broke their vow and said, you're going to be my only spouse. So anytime a male or female went with another male or female that was not their spouse, they broke the vow. That's why Jesus even went on to go in to say, and he said, and if you marry this person, you are still committing adultery. Because in his eyes, the vows are forever. Now, there is repentance, okay? I think everybody here has heard me preach this before. There is repentance. We'll look at that here in a little bit too, because the Bible does talk about that. If you do this, you can repent of it. And there, it was actually in Leviticus, and it talks about actually bringing an offering. It was a trespass offering that you had to bring. However, we know that Jesus is our offering. Amen? So anyhow, just because somebody, you know, it was somebody that, well, I don't respect that person. I found out they're a scoundrel. It don't matter. You made a vow with them. You promised the devil something, and it don't matter. A contract's a contract. You know, when I first, I hate to admit this now, when I first was, you know, I was a young boot, right out of boot camp. I mean, we're talking a month, the first 2 months out of boot camp. I kept hoping to God they would break their contract and do something stupid so I could get out of my contract, because I couldn't break it. See, that's where these guys that go and they decide, well, I don't want to be in the Marines anymore, and I'm just going to stay home while I'm on leave, and I'm just not going back. I knew several that did it right out of boot camp. One of them lives in Cincinnati. I hope that rides on his back every day. Weiner, we paid for him at boot camp more than anybody. And then we graduate boot camp, and he goes UA, which is AWOL to Army terms. But anyhow, he broke a vow. Be honest with you, I think his daddy was rich, and I think he got his daddy to contract a senator. I think senators need to go stick it in their pipe and smoke it. You ain't got no control over that. But that's a personal opinion. I told you, I'll tell you when it's a personal opinion. Your son made a contract. He made a vow. Guess what? He still gets out on an honorable discharge, and he didn't do anything. He didn't even serve but 3 months in boot camp. He's going to get the benefits that the rest of us get. And you came out and bailed him out of his vow. Well, I don't, anyhow. But anyhow, the deal was, if the government, see, everybody kept saying, well, you know, and this was what I just wanted to smack people later on, you know, like it was at 2000, after 2001, after, you know, the towers were bombed and all this. People kept coming, oh, you think they'll come in and draft you? I said, no, they can't. They can't touch me. Oh, but they can draft you. They can. No, they can't. I have a contract. I have a contract that says I will serve 8 years of my life. And inside those 8 years, you have control over my life. After that, I am totally done, and you can never touch me again. That's why I say, if you're afraid of war, you might as well just go get it over with. I don't believe they'll ever draft again, personally. Because I hope to God that we have enough people that will jump up and say, you know what, this is my country. Now, I can't say that I've always believed in every effort that they've drafted people for. But what I am saying is, I had a contract. They couldn't just come in and take me. I did my deal. I was done. They couldn't come in. Well, you know, they can always raise that statute of limitations. Yes, for somebody that's never served. I have a signed contract with the United States government. The second they try to draft me, all I have to do is contact a lawyer, and I become a wealthy man. Because that is breach of contract. Same way as if those guys, like I had a roommate, decided he went back to D.C. He enjoyed his drug smoking, dope smoking, partying ways back in D.C. He decided he was going to stay. He and another guy in our platoon. They never came back. They did end up coming back a couple weeks later. Problem is they were stripped of their rank, thrown into brig, and processed for dishonorable discharge. Why? They broke a contract. Now, so that's why Jesus was telling us, it's vitally important that we let our yes be yes and our no be no. We mean it. Now, if you're questionable on something, learn about it before you go saying yes. Oh, yes, honey, you know, you can go to this party. I don't mind for you going to this party. Why don't you find out who's at that party? Are there going to be any adults? Let me back that up. Any responsible adults. Just because you're 18 does not mean you're responsible. Oh, yeah, there's going to be adults. Yeah. We had adults in my senior class too. Most of them were adults. Probably the same with all of you. And on a couple occasions, I saw the county sheriff show up and take some of those adults out of school. Were they what you'd call responsible? No. So anyhow. But then you say, oh, well, Johnny, you can go to this party. And then you find out, well, hey, there's going to be a stripper there. Going to be drugs and alcohol. Oh, Johnny, you can't go. Whoa, 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 whoa. You had better ask him to forgive you. Because you already gave your word. He could do it. I ain't got to humble myself. Let's get something straight. If you can't humble yourself and ask for forgiveness, you're not forgiven. Jesus taught that. You've got to give forgiveness and you've got to receive forgiveness. Hey, you know what, son? I know I told you this. I acted irrationally and I just found this out. And you know this goes against everything we believe. You know that this is standing right now against, the stripper, you know, son, do I need to go into detail about this? You know, the alcohol, the drugs. I don't need to go into detail about this. Why I don't believe it. I was not aware of this. And, you know, if Johnny knew, and, you know, there's some reconciliation that's got to go on there. But the problem is you can't just come up and say, you know what, I'm going to stick by my guns because I'm the parent. I'm not saying you got to let the kid go, but you better explain, you better get into detail on this thing. Well, you know, Johnny, I said you could play baseball, but on second thought, I really don't want that headache. If you tell your kid they can, I'm going to promise you this, because every last one of us in here has been a child. If your parent made you a promise and broke it, you remember it. You remember it just like it was yesterday. I do. Every last one of us. So guess what? Why do we think our kids are going to be any different? You know, I'm going to raise you in the admonition of the Lord. I'm going to raise you to be a man or woman of God. Well, Mom, why don't we go to church often? Mom, why do you watch soap operas all the time? Dad, why do you got a stack of Playboys under your bed? Dad, why do you got a six-pack of Bud? You broke a vow to him. You know, when you know, I people bring their babies to me, and I charge the parents, the grandparents, and everybody that's here that's involved in that child's life to raise them. Guess what? That is a vow you just took. You know, I think I've dedicated both of your kids. And here in 2 weeks, I think it is, I'm going to dedicate another niece of mine. And I'm going to charge every, and that includes me. When I'm doing that in my family, but I'm going to charge them to raise that child in the admonition of the Lord and to raise them to be a godly person. Guess what? That means you got to go to church. That means you got to talk about the word. They've got to see you. Well, I don't want my kid to know I'm going through a hard time fighting. Well, how in the world do you think they're going to learn? Most kids learn by watching. I'm going to tell you right now, Justin knows Chinese words and he knows Spanish words. Why? Because he watches TV. And as soon as the series Lost is over, he's going to forget all that because I'm turning it back off. I just wanted to finish watching Lost. It's confusing enough without watching it a year later after everybody else already knows what happened. Yeah, don't get addicted to a TV show like that. It'll drive you nuts. Anyhow. Yes, I've watched Lost. Yes, it's basically a soap opera. Just got a whole lot better storyline, though. Because right now they got, I think, two different lives going on at the same time. Like, okay, where am I at here? I don't know. If you don't watch it, you're blessed. Yeah, somebody, he's like, I'm blessed. Oh, and I can thank Lisa Bevere. But anyhow, let me get back onto the message. So if you've given the curse no reason to land, it cannot stay. If you've kept your word, that's what we're talking about today. Listen, there's a lot of things you can, that curse is waiting to find. But if you've given it no reason to stay with your word, it cannot stay. Well, kids, I'm going to raise you in the ways of the Lord. Well, I don't like that preacher. Don't like that one. Don't like that one. Don't like that one. You're not going to like any of them. Let's get to the truth of the matter. Because they're always, if they're preaching the word, are always going to step on your toes. It's not that they're intentionally doing it. And if this is kicking you in the shins, that's God. God's the one who told me to preach this message. He's the one that gave me the words. He didn't say, you know what, come out here and I want you to stomp on Keith's toes for a while. No. Because personally, I went back through it myself. I was like, okay, Lord, I think I'd really better sharpen up on paying attention to my vows, paying attention to what I'm saying to people. If I tell Miss Gloria I'm going to do something, she's waiting for me. And I've broke my vow if I don't do it. And guess what? Just like that little sparrow that's running around trying to find a place to land, the second I decide and I break it, I've invited it into my life. Well, I didn't see anything immediately happen right after I did. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. It's not immediate. The curse is not always an immediate thing. People think, well, bad things will start happening to me. Oh. Bible says the wages of sin are death. You can be cheating on your wife for 2 years. She doesn't know. Your marriage hasn't died yet. But it will. You can lie to the government on your taxes all you want. Well, they ain't found out yet, but they will. Be sure of it. Your sin will find you out. So you mean just because I broke a promise 10 years ago to somebody? Yes, I do. I mean, it will find you out. It will hunt you down. If you made a promise to somebody, you'd better keep it. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you broke that thing, you need to go back to that person and ask them to forgive you. You need that forgiveness. You need that release. And you need to ask God to forgive you. Now, if you can't, they've passed on or whatever, ask God to forgive you. He's the one who ultimately forgives all sin, okay? Ask God to forgive you in that and to restore you. Help you to be more mindful of your words and the vows you're making. You know, I hear it all the time. People tell their kids, well, you know, you need to be faithful to the house of the, or you need to be faithful to that baseball team if you're going to play. And that's why I believe. Joshua's running track. You're going to run track. You better be at practice. I don't know what the deal is. Maybe you can help me, Matt. You know, I was helping with the junior high. Half the people wouldn't show up for track practice, and then they wondered why they came in last. Maybe if you showed up. Maybe if you learned a few of the tricks that we're trying to teach you. Maybe if you were in better conditioning. But see, their parents aren't teaching them about a commitment. They're just teaching about, well, you get out there and I'll come and root for you. Listen, I told Joshua, you play sports, you will be at the practices. So that's why beforehand, see, Jesse was just asked the other day if he could play football. I'd love to watch Jesse play football. He's a little more aggressive than Joshua is in those senses. And I, you know, it's not, and Joshua can be aggressive, don't get me wrong. He can be aggressive. Problem is, I think he digs deep down into another level of aggression and that I used to find. And you don't want to see that side. And, but anyhow, Jesse brought the papers home. And we looked at them, said, oh, you know, I thought, you know, last year he's like, can I play football next year? I said, well, we'll have to see. I said, I'm not making you any promises. I said, we'll have to see. I said, depends on the schedule. We got the papers the other day. The schedule wasn't on there. So Angela called the coach. Coach called back and said, well, this is when we'll practice. I said, okay, that's fine. And then the games will start after September, and the games will be on Sunday, 1 o'clock. I said, Jesse, I'm sorry. I love you, but I do not care what they say. I made a vow to God. I made a vow to these people that I would stand that. Guess what's going to happen if all those people see me? Well, hey guys, Miss Gloria, would you finish up the service? I got to go to a football game. Because I want to be there. I want to be there to root him on. Now, just like the other night, you know, when Doc was here, I couldn't be at Joshua's track meet to root him on. Do you know what? I know he still ran his hardest. But I couldn't be there because I've told people, listen, sports are not that important. People are finally figuring out that once you get out of high school and college, pretty much you become a spectator. Unless you happen to have the talent to go on to be a professional athlete. But anyhow, so, you know, Jesse looked at us and, you know, and I could see, you know, he was disappointed. And I said, but I tell you what, son. I said, they did say the next age group, which would be you next year, plays later in the afternoon. Let's wait until next year and we'll see what's still going on then. I said, we could do that. But I said, I'm still not promising you anything because they may change that on me next year. I don't know. But you see, the point being, I'm training my children up to serve God. Not themselves, not sports, not their own little desires. Well, Pastor, it sounds hard. Why do you think we're called disciples? Disciple means disciplined ones. The church right now is a bunch of nasties. That's what we used to call undisciplined people in the military. I don't know if you guys may did the same thing. Marine Corps, we called them nasties. Get away from that nasty. Our drill instructors called us nasty when we were undisciplined. Do you know how hard it is to stand in front of a piece of apple pie and you ain't allowed to touch it? That drill instructor's standing there, I dare you, boy. I dare you. And don't you even think about the ice cream. That's what I found hilarious. They made up all this pie. Who ate it? Because we weren't allowed to have any of it. Them drills, no wonder they were always bouncing around. Man, they were on sugar buzzes all the time. But that's what it means to be a Christian. People, I'm just going to get saved and all my world's going to get... Listen, you've got the power now to combat it. But your world does not necessarily get easier. Because now you've got to forgive. But you've got to forgive regardless. That's what people don't... Now you have the power to forgive. Now you have the power to overcome. Now you have the power to heal. You'll be healed yourself. You understand what I'm saying? But it's going to take a disciplined walk. You know, listen, you know, these elite athletes, you know, these people that are running 4-minute miles, I do not have the discipline it takes. At one point in my life, I may have had some of the talent that it took, but I definitely did not have the discipline. I'm like, you know what? I don't care if I can run a mile in 4 minutes. You put me in a car and I can do it in one. That's all I cared about. So a Christian life is a disciplined life. And part of that is watching what we vow, what we promise. And I'm going to tell you something. As having been somebody who's had promises broken, you got to learn to walk forgiveness. You've got to learn, and you know what? The devil brings it up. Do you remember when so-and-so made you this promise? I said, yeah. You know, somebody made me a promise years ago, and they've not been, I said, Lord, I ask you to forgive them. I said, but I also ask you to open their eyes to it first, because they need to understand. They made a promise. They made me a promise, and I kept my end of the bargain. So, nice weather we're having, amen? So what happens is when the curse, we think the curse is not somebody sitting out there mixing up a big batch of eye of newt and breath of bat and all this stuff and sprinkling stuff in and I curse you. The curse is waiting there, folks, with bitterness, with anger, and all that stuff festers into unforgiveness. So you cannot just say, well, you know, I'm not going to worry about it. You'd better worry about your word. Jesus taught this for a purpose. James reiterated it for a purpose. Now, let me get in here. Ecclesiastes 5:4. Let's just go to Ecclesiastes. There's a couple of scriptures there I can read out of. Did you ever go looking for a scripture and you just could not find it? You knew what it said, but you just could not find it? Well, this one's not it. I did have one like that, and I did find it. Ecclesiastes 5:4. Now, I just want to let you know something. It says vow to God. You could just kind of eliminate to God when you make a vow, period. That's what Jesus taught us, okay? Like I said, everybody thinks, well, the Christian life is so much easier. Oh, no, it's not. The Christian life is actually harder than what the Jewish life was. But in some respects, it is easier because now we have the Holy Spirit in us. Amen? We don't have to walk around. Can you imagine walking around with the weight of your sin, knowing what you did, that you don't even get it covered by the blood of a lamb for one full year? Think about that. You know, if you sinned yesterday, you can ask God, Father, forgive me. I was wrong. Now, you may feel alone for a couple days. It'll pass. But more importantly, you've been forgiven. You ain't got that weight on you anymore. 5:4 says, when you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Whoa. People don't pay their vows, what's God think about them? They're fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. People make promises all the time, but yet they didn't mean it. Oh, honey, I love you, and I'm going to be faithful to you, and I'm going to forsake all other women. You never had an intention in your heart of doing that. You just spoke it because you're like, hey, you know what? I got a trophy wife, or I got a trophy husband. I got to get him to marry me. I got money. She's got money. I'm married into money. So what? I'd rather be broke than live with a contentious woman who keeps constantly holding it. You wouldn't have a dime if it weren't for me. You know what? I'm going to buy me a little island in the South Pacific. You ain't welcome. I'm going to live on bananas and pineapples the rest of my life. Yes, I will be constantly fighting diarrhea and lose a lot of weight. But I'm not going to live with you. Solomon said it's better to live in the corner. He said the corner of a porch, of the roof of a house, because they used to. He said, it's better for a man to live in the corner over here than to be in the entire house with a contentious woman. Well, I took a vow that I'm going to love her. I'm going to be faithful to her. Well, if you're just waiting for the opportunity to go out and cheat on her, you never took minute in your heart, but the problem is you still took the vow, and there will be repercussions. Regardless, like I said, the Bible tells us clearly, the wages of sin are death. I swear to tell you, you know, I think it was my last year in the Marine Corps. Here I am, you know, I've gone through all the training. I'm a chaser, which means I take people to jail, which I really hated that. I don't know, did you ever have a chaser card? I hated that. What good? Can I ask anybody, does anybody have any revelation on this? Here I am, one man. They give me 5 Marines who are in bright orange oversuits because they're in the brig, and they tell me to take them out on a working party. These are 5 guys who know everything I know. You know what they give me for a weapon? A canteen. I'm like, how about a club, a taser, a 45? I'm a pistol qualified expert. I won't miss. They give me a canteen. What am I supposed to do? Bend them over my belt with my belt and spank them? You're being bad. Yeah, a plastic canteen to boot. I mean, man, you could wing them. They'd go far and they hurt. Never made sense. But anyhow, getting all the story. So I'm just building up where I'm at. So I'm a chaser and all that. I'm an NCO. Never smoked dope in my life. It was several years later before I realized, somebody said, hey, I smell dope. Somebody's burnt smoking a joint someplace. I'm like, well, I've smelled that before in some places. Like, oh, really? I didn't even know what it smelled like. But the problem is every Friday morning, they're calling me to battalion. I don't get the PT. I didn't mind running. I didn't get the PT. You know why? Because I had to go pee in a cup. I had to take a urinalysis every Friday for 2 to 3 months. And finally, I went to my platoon sergeant. We were NCOs together in Okinawa, and I said, Kerry, why am I constantly going down there? You know I don't smoke. He says, Woody, I know. He says, but apparently somebody within this certain group of Social Security numbers is. And they're searching for them. And they're trying to nail them. They kept going on and on and on. And we're all joking out there, you know, hey, you know. Okay, here, drink your bottle of water. I'll tell you what, it was a good way to kill 2 hours. You want to not have to go pee? Go take a urinalysis. You won't be able to go. Especially with somebody else watching. Like, could you just turn? Nope, I can't turn away. Well, then we're going to be here for a while longer. Because I just can't go. I can step outside and I got to go, but I come in here and you're stage fright. Anyhow, I better get off of that subject. But anyhow, I don't know if I want to know what he just said. He's got to go now. I got you a cup. It's already half full. Anyhow, okay. So finally, they nailed this guy. He was in my platoon. And, you know, at his court-martial, he pleaded and begged, please don't kick me out, please don't kick me out. The Marine Corps is my life, blah, 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 blah. Well, if it's your life, why were you smoking dope, you moron? You've been nothing but a cheater ever since you got in. If it was your life, why didn't you abide by the rules? You took a vow, remember? You knew the rules, you don't smoke, you don't do drugs. They're going to dishonorably discharge you. Oh, he just boo-hooed and boo-hooed. He even went to the point of having his roommate. Now, you got to understand, this was hilarious. This was a Laurel and Hardy type friendship these guys had. This guy that was arrested, he was so small that he could fit between the slats on our obstacles, on our confidence course. Instead of going over, he just turned sideways and slide through them. Now, he weighed 133 pounds at the last PFT that we weighed in. He wasn't very big. I mean, like I said, he had arms probably about this big. I weighed in at 128 on that one. So I wasn't any bigger than him. As far as actual weight, I definitely hadn't. But anyhow, so he's just a little bit. This other dude, though, I mean, this guy is only about yay tall. This other dude is about this tall, about this wide. So, I mean, and they were roommates. And he says, hey, man, you got to testify. Tell him I didn't do it. Tell him I didn't. I wasn't smoking. So this guy goes in, and he stands before the colonel. He raises his right hand and says, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. The truth will find you out. They found out he lied. So not only did I take the dope smoker, I took the liar to prison. The truth will find you out. Now, they both got dishonorable discharges. One man messed up his entire life. You don't think those hunt you down? Everywhere they go, they will find out. Are you a veteran? And if you check no and they find out and they go back in and find out you were a liar then and you're a liar now, you're gone. Why did you get a dishonorable discharge? Oh, you were a dope smoker, huh? Oh, you lie. Just like you lied to us about not being a veteran. Guess what? You know, we don't need liars here. So it'll hunt you down the rest of your life. So anyhow, the Bible tells us better not to take a vow at all than to take the vow and not pay it. Listen, if you can't pay the car payment, don't go get the car. If you can't afford a wife, don't sit there and say, oh, I'll take care of you, honey. Better off for you not to take a vow right off the bat. You know what? The only problem is, you know, my dad and Bob, neither one told me how much a wife was going to cost me. You were a little too quiet about that, Bob. Although I will say this in Bob's favor, when I asked for Angela's hand in marriage, he wanted to make sure I had a good job. He knew something. I should have said, hey, is there any bits of wisdom you can share? You know, no. It just ain't nothing you can share at that point. I did notice some of them at my wedding day said, you know, it's only 4 o'clock. You can still run. You know, Art, it's only 4:29. She's not out here yet. Wedding's at 4:30. You can still run. Nope, not going to run. I've been running ever since then. Yeah, been good running. I get to do my fair share of chasing, too. Turn to Psalm 15. Psalm 15. Hey, a bit of this little side note here. How many of you want to sound like you've been to Bible school? Really, this is how they tell. This is how I heard it. They tell whether you've been to Bible school or not. What is the scripture I just gave you? Psalm 15. It's the book of Psalms, but that's the individual psalm. So it's Psalm 15, not Psalms 15. You just went through Bible school. That's how they tell. Because they discipline you on it. They make you say Psalm. The book of Psalms, the 15th chapter. Psalm 15, verse 4. Now I'm going to go back up to verse 1. And then we'll jump over to verse 4. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? David's asking a question here of God. Who can abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Go to verse 4. There's some others, but verse 4 is where we want to look at. In whose eyes a vile person is despised. This is the person who may dwell in the tabernacle. Somebody who despises vile people, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. That's the scripture I was looking for. What's that saying? It's somebody that makes a promise, and even though things have now changed and it's to their hurt. Oh, honey, I'm going to buy you that diamond ring. And in the back of his mind, he's thinking, as long as my stocks hold out. Right? Well, you, those of you that got stocks, you know you can't bank on them. But in his mind, he's thinking, as long as my stocks hold out, I'm going to buy her that big diamond ring. You made the promise. Now, the problem is, the stock market fell out. Your stocks no longer exist. And you're saying, I ain't got the money. I'm going to have to break my promise. David said, and this was a reply from the Lord, I believe, is those who dwell in the tabernacle of the Lord and can dwell on his holy hill are those who, when they make a promise, even if it hurts them, you know what, Art? You made the promise. You're going to have to sell your motorcycle just to make that promise true. You know what? I took a vow one time. It was a big one. It was a huge one. I mean, especially because, I mean, the vow was for $1,000. It was $1,000. Now, just so you understand, I only made about $700 a month. And in, was it 2 months? I think it was about two or three months is when we were to come up, we were to have the vow paid. A lot of the people I knew when they went up there, oh yeah, they $1,000 is nothing to them. They blow that on a weekend skiing. And they go skiing, you know, they take off on Friday night and get back in on Saturday night and they come to church on Sunday and then they take off again Monday. $1,000 isn't nothing to them, but $1,000 to somebody who makes $700 a month, that's a whole lot of money. It got down to it, it's like, okay, Lord, I stepped out in faith here and I believe you were telling me to sow this seed into that person. And Angela and I were like, where are we going to get the money from? She was working, jobs were pretty much all low paying down there. And said, we don't have the money, Lord. And I believe the Holy Spirit said, now what have you got? What have you got that you can sell? Well, we had some savings bonds. So we found a bank that would cash them in. We took a hit on them. We cashed those in. Well, we got $300. Lord, we're still $700 short, and we can't afford to not pay our other bills. Thank God we were living in base housing, but still had a car payment. We still had insurance, outrageous insurance, as it turned out. We were getting gouged by an insurance agent, double charging us for things that we were already paying, we didn't know. Never hurts to shop, folks. We came back home, the insurance agent said, why are you paying that? He said, that's the same thing as this, just worded different. He said, they were taking you to the bank. I said, well, welcome to the military life. Military town, that's what people are out there to do, is get over on them. Never mind the fact that they wouldn't have a job if it weren't for us, and you wouldn't have a town if it weren't for us. But anyhow, another soapbox. These guys have been to military bases. Tell you, well, you grew up in Jacksonville. Yeah. So anyhow, we got down to it. Said, God, I got my car. That's it. We had two cars. I got my Firebird, Lord. I said, I can sell it. It's all I've got. Okay. Went to the bank. I asked him, I said, I've still got this car as collateral on that loan. I said, can I have the title for that one? And they said, well, sure. Yeah. Car's worth this much. I took it to a dealer. The transmission slip, steering gear was really bad. And other than that, it looked good. Sounded pretty decent. I just took it to the first dealer I could, and I said, give me $700 for it, and it's yours. I said, who do I make the check out to? Had to sell my car. I loved that car. It was my first hot rod car. It was a redneck car. Angela, the tires stuck out the back. Had louvers down the back, tinted windows. Yeah, honeycomb rims. I mean, it was my redneck car. Skinny tires on the front, big ones in the back. Anyhow, yeah. Glass pack on a 4-6-cylinder. Yeah. But I sold it because I took a vow. And to my own hurt, I had to keep it. I couldn't just go up to the man and say, I took a vow that I would. And this man would have forgiven me because this man didn't ask for this. It was a guest minister who said, I believe that God wants you to honor your... It was the pastor at that time. 30 people gave $1,000. I'm thinking, dear Lord, that's 3 years' wages for me. But that didn't matter. It was an honor. It was an honor issue. Anyhow, we kept that vow to honor God. And I'm going to tell you right now, God has honored us. Every car we've had, we've been able to run them into dirt. I mean, the next car we bought after that was just a blessed car. We got right into it. That car, the only thing I ever had go wrong with it was the alternator. The alternator went out on it twice. That was it. I put 144,000 miles on the car, but I sold it. Unfortunately, I sold it to a nephew and it quit. Sorry, man. I think the fuel pump went out in it, but the point being, God honored us in that. And every car we've had since then, we've been able to wear them out until they just couldn't go anymore. So those are the kind of people right there that God says, these are going to inherit. They're going to get to be in my tabernacle. You want to be in God's tabernacle, okay? We're not talking about a building. We're talking about the inner sanctum of where God is. That's the kind of people. He's talking about people who keep their vows. So, let me see if I want to go to Leviticus real quick. Yeah, let's go ahead and go to Leviticus. Chapter 5. I'll wrap up here. Verse 4. Say amen if you're there. All right. This is for the trespass offering. It says, if a person swears speaking thoughtlessly with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatever it is that a man may pronounce by an oath, and he is unaware of it or situations arise, when he realizes it, then he shall be guilty in any of these matters. This is what God was telling the people then. That if you make a promise, and even though something may arise, and you decide to break it, you're still guilty. That's why he said those that will inherit, will get to be in the tabernacle will be those who, when they swear and they make an oath, that even to their own hurt, their own shame, they will keep it. I've had people, even as a pastor now, make promises to me. Oh, I'll do this, Pastor. They break it. Guess what? That's on you. Did I get mad?
Yeah.
I'm like, I thought they were a Christian. What do you think Christians do? You make a vow, you keep it. How many of you have made a vow to your spouse, but yet you're going to go out this afternoon and have an affair? Maybe get my hand down out of the way. Because I might not come back to pre-prayer. You may have come raise me from the dead. Boy. Nobody. Why, Christians don't do that. But there have been people that have passed through these doors in the last 9 years. They'll make promises. You know, one promise I hate that, you know, George, I have to say, you're one of the few. George told me, he says, I'll be back his first Sunday. He's one of the few. Most people tell me they're going to be back. I ain't seen them since. Why? Because I'm going to tell you, first off, it's a habit you have to change. Most of them haven't been in church. And now, oh, Pastor, I love the Word. Oh, praise God. If you don't love the Word, don't tell me. Because first off, it's God's Word, not mine. You go tell Him. You got a problem with it, you take it up with Him. I didn't make it up. But some of them go, oh, loved it. Love the praise worship. We'll be back. When? Next Easter, yeah. Well, he's telling the truth. Yep, see you next Easter. Now, but just so you know, here's the deal. Verse 5. And it shall be when he is guilty in any of these matters that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing. Now it goes on to prescribe the offering for this. You confess that you broke the vow. Ask God to forgive you. And if you made a vow to somebody else, ask them to forgive you. You know, I told Angela when we first got married, I said, I'll never hit you. I've never hit her. It's one I'm never going to violate. We were horsing around one time in base housing. We were just running around. You know how tiny those places are. We were horsing around, and I tripped. I don't know if I tripped on a corner. And, you know, she would always slug me, you know, take her bony little knuckles and just punch me right here. And it would go right between the muscle. I'm like, oh, come here. You know, just rabbit jabs. I'm punching her in the butt, and I fell. So she was running away from me and into the living room, and I tripped. And I was in mid like that, and I accidentally punched her in the butt. It bruised her. I was like, oh, baby, I am so sorry. She's laying there laughing. She's got a Charlie horse. But, you know, I told her, I said, I will never hit you. And I've never. If we've ever gotten that mad at each other, I said, it's time for us to be apart for a while. I said, I'll go out and beat the dog. Amen. I got some of you. You're like, amen. No, I wouldn't go out and beat the dog. The cat, maybe, yeah. I never had a cat. I just go out into the garage. Stomp around, kick the side of the garage. Or the barn, whatever I had at the time. Blow it off. Well, Pastor, sounds like you had anger. Well, you don't? Anybody not having it? Anybody in here figured out? We all got anger. Well, that's how you, Bible says, I don't believe in you. letting it out. What do? Hold it in until you blow up and take everybody with you? That's what I used to do. Oh, I'm just going to keep it bottled up. I'm just going to stay in here. You're going to blow eventually. And when you do, just like a volcano, you're going to take the top completely off. And you're going to destroy anything and everything around you as much as you can. And you don't mean to. It's just coming and you can't stop it. No, I didn't go out and beat the dog, just so we get that all clarified. Many times I wanted to go beat my neighbor, but I know. What's that? Yeah, to our PETA friends on the internet, PETA stands for People Eating Tasty Animals. I ain't gonna lie about that. Animals have, I believe in humane treatment for animals, okay? But animals do not have rights. They are animals. Let's just keep animals where they belong. I learned that from a wise man. He's sitting back here in the corner. He makes his living with animals. You know, I guess I'm finished up with the message. Justin just learned where steaks and hamburger come from. No. He comes in the house and says, Dad, you know, you can't eat hamburgers and steaks no more. I said, well, I'll tell you what, you eat your broccoli. Oh, he says, I don't like broccoli. It makes me sick. I said, then we're going to eat steaks and hamburgers. No, we can't eat steaks and hamburgers. Well, how about chicken? No, we can't eat chicken. Pork chops? No, we can't eat pork chops. Tuna fish? What's that? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you can't wear shoes, buddy. You can't do this. You know, it was just a fact. It was Modern Marvels. That's what it was. And they were taking us this big pulled Hereford bull to this mobile butcher shop. Probably wasn't the best thing. Yeah, that was poor parenting on her behalf. Her and that Modern Marvels show. I mean, she's got this fascination with it. Praise God. No, I was watching it, I'll admit. Well, they had that gun, and I wanted to see how it worked. They wouldn't show me, though. But he learned where steak... So, Bob, Karen, he learned where steaks and hamburger comes from now. He wasn't impressed with it. I asked him if he wanted to eat rabbit, but they would... The back corner will get that. He has a rabbit now. He didn't think that was funny either. But he still will not eat his broccoli. Well, I'm not going to... I said, then you just can't eat. He'll eat pasta as long as it's not made out of hamburger or... Well, yeah, he doesn't get a choice, folks. Don't get me wrong. He eats what's put before him. Then he sneaks in and finds a Twinkie or something. Maybe. Where did you find that? Go in there and you find this... concocted ladder built up to the upper cabinet. How did a 4-year-old get all the way up there? I have to stand on a chair to get into that cabinet. Let's stand. Just remember, if you've made promises, first off, if you made them to people and you're not going to keep them, or you've not kept them, you need to go ask for forgiveness. You have to ask them. If you can still make it happen, you better make it happen. Because, like I said, the curse is not something that... If you've made me a promise, I'm not up here going, ooh, I curse you with a curse. No, it's waiting to happen. Sin, the curse was waiting for Adam to take a bite of that fruit. That was it, cut and dry. It was just waiting there. So it's not like, oh, well, I can keep it off. It's just, it's lurking. Well, Pastor, I don't believe it. Oh, if you don't believe me, go out here drive past the police department about 20 times at about 80 miles an hour, and you tell me if you believe in a curse when they pull you over. That's hopefully because they're on another part of town. But or you can go into a state trooper's. Go down there to the state trooper post. You know, tell them what you think of them. See how long it is before you get pulled over. Tell me if you don't believe in a curse. They'll have your license written down before you get out of the parking lot, and somebody will be behind you in probably 10 minutes. They will have a GPS satellite following your car. See that? Pull him over. He's got an attitude problem. No. I don't know that they do that. I would. See, Rob agrees with me. He'd do it too. That's why we're not police officers. We'd be sitting in the back seat more than in the front. Anyhow, let's pray. I better pray because I'm just wild today. Father, I thank you and I praise you for this day. Lord, I thank you for your word. And Lord, now we ask, Father, that you open our eyes and our hearts to any vows, any promises we've made to people, Father, that we've broken. Father, give us the courage and the words to go to them and ask them to forgive us. And if we can at all make it to fulfill that promise, Lord, to fulfill it, because that is what you would desire. Lord, I thank you now for your people. I pray again, Lord, that you bless them. Father, bless them coming and bless them going. Father, bless their bodies this week. Father, with rest, with much-needed rest. Father, with restoration of their mind, Lord God. And Father, we stand against any works of the enemy right now, Father, to tell us that the vow we broke, it's okay. Because according to you, it's not. And we are to rise above a different standard of the world. Father, we don't take our standards from the world. We take our standards from you. And you're a God of your word. And therefore, you expect us to be. And so, Lord, I thank you now that you're restoring things, Father. And you're bringing back hope and life in these situations. In Jesus' name, amen.